We're starting a new series, a topical series na ngayon December that we are calling The Story of God's Love. Sa araw na ito, we will be opening 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 to 9, kagaya ng binasa kanina ni Rhea. To give you a background, 2 Timothy is one of the pastoral letters ni Paul. And specifically, itong letter na ito ay sinulat niya para kay Timothy to be read sa church ng Ephesus. Ang background na ito is chapter 1, nabanggit ni Paul na siya ay nakakulong. He informed Timothy na he was in prison because he was faithfully ministering the gospel sa mga tao. And sa, nabanggit ho niya yan sa chapter 2, he invites Timothy, hindi lamang niya in-inform na nakakulong siya and suffering for the gospel, he invites him to suffer with him for the gospel. So he's short in saying, you know, like a faithful soldier, why don't you join me in heralding the gospel of Jesus Christ and let's suffer together. Kasi ito yung normal Christian life. Now, pagdating sa chapter 3, ang message ni Paul dito ay hindi nagbago. Paul now warns Timothy that the difficult times will be coming sa church. At makita po natin sa chapter 3 verses 1 to 9. And he wants him to be faithful until the end. Sa passage natin ngayong hapon na ito, Paul is reminding Timothy and the Ephesus Ephesian Church Christians and us who are here sa crossroads that living and ministering in this age is very, very difficult. But we must take courage because God will care for His church. My prayer ngayong hapon na ito is that as we face great opposition bilang Christians, that we would continue to love and serve God and His people, knowing that God will win in the end. Again, it's not easy serving in this generation. That's why Christians, we are ministering in difficult days. We must be discerning and confident that Christ will build His church. Christians, we are ministering in difficult days. We must be discerning and confident that Christ will build His church. We have 3 points sa passage na to. Number one, and they are all in question form. What do people love in the last days? Verses 1 to 5. Number two, what deceptive methods do false teachers execute? Verses 6 to 7. And number three, how will opposers of the truth end? Verses 8 hanggang 9. Number one, what do people love in the last days? Let's read verse 1 to 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unpeaceable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Man, what a list. Habang dinadaan ko itong, binapasadaan ko itong verses ito, verses 1 to 5 in my devotional, it's just screaming sa aking heart. Dito pa lang, I feel that the Holy Spirit is calling me out in certain areas sa aking life. But let's look at verse 1. So verse 1, pinasimulan kaagad ni Paul ng command na understand this. Sa New King James Version, ang translation nila is realize this. Sa Christian Standard Bible, sabi dyan, know this. At ano naman ang kailangan maunawaan o ma-realize ni Timothy dito? Ano yung paulit-ulit na sinasabi niya? So look at yung verse 1 ulit. Ito ang kailangan paunawan niya kay Timothy, that they are living in the last days. So ano ibig sabihin ng living in the last days? Ang last days ay ang mga panahon na pinagitnaan ng ascension ni Jesus Christ at yung second coming niya. So yung timeline sa gitna noon, yun po yung last days. Okay? And yung last days na ito ay ang mga panahon na kung saan na sa gitna ng timeline na yon. If I were to put it this way, tayo ngayon ay nasa time ng last days. We are currently living in it. Now, ano daw ang pinauunawa ni Paul kay Timothy na mangyayari sa last days? So, sinabi niya, okay, there will be, nandito na tayo sa last days. So, ano mangyayari sa last days? Look at verse 1 again. Ito mangyayari sa last days. It will be a time of difficulty. It will be a time of difficulty. Para kanino? Para sa Christians? Para sa church. The church who champions the gospel. When Paul mentions that it will be a time of difficulty, hindi ito nakatoon, hindi nakatoon ang kanyang atensyon sa hirap ng ekonomiya. Hindi po ito, oh, darating ang times na ito na mahirap dahil mawawalan ng trabaho ang tao o mahirap mag-apply. Hindi po nakatoon sa economy si Paul nung sinabi niya ito. Or na ang ibig niya sabihin dito ay may kakalat na malaking epidemya. Hindi po yun ang iniisip niyang difficulty. Nor ang sinasabi niya na may sunod-sunod na natural disasters na magaganap sa ating mga panahon na ito, maaring totoo ang mga bagay na yan, pero hindi siya nakafocus doon sa pag-iisip na yon. No, when he mentioned difficult times, ang kanyang atensyon ay nakatuon sa mga ataking magaganap sa loob ng church ni Jesus Christ. Sa mga atake na mararamdaman, mararanasan ng bawat Kristiyano. Normal po ito. This is the normal Christian living. You will be attacked by the enemy. That's why Paul warns Timothy and the Ephesian church or Christians na ang ministry sa last days are going to get harder, more difficult, and even dangerous. Dapat i-expect nila ito. Dapat huwag na sila maggulat, mangyayari ito. Huwag nilang ikagulat na dapat nilang harapin. Dapat huwag nilang takbuhan, harapin nila. And that is the exhortation sa ating ngayong hapon na ito. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, huwag ho tayong magulat. If you feel that you're being attacked, huwag kayong magulat kung there's some sort of kaguluhan na nangyayari sa loob ng church. Maaring we're in a season of peace, praise God, but this will happen kung tayo talaga ay tunay na tapat na anak ng Diyos. Paul is prepping them for war. I know a lot of you come to church and you said, and I ask you, bakit mo gusto pumunta ng church? Because masaya, and that's wonderful. There's joy in the presence of believers encouraging one another with the word. But if a mentality natin lagi is masaya while we are in this world, and kung yun ang ating paniniwala and you're going through something, ang tendency po na gawin natin is to cover up what really is going on sa ating life. The reason why we gather so that we would encourage one another. So we would be opening our lives to one another because we know we are at war. Are you at war right now? Are there any sin struggles in your life na parang paulit-ulit na pinababagsak ka? At dapat po, ganito ang mentalidad natin. An attitude that we will be facing spiritual battles. We are in a spiritual warfare. We, this church, is going to be infiltrated and attacked by the enemy in all aspects of life. At mahalaga po na dapat ma-identify natin ang mga kaaway ng iglesia. Okay? Upang maharap po ito ng tama at upang hindi na tayo mahulog o mabilang sa mga kaaway. Mahirap dyan kung tayo ay mabilang sa mga kaaway ng iglesia. Look at verse 2 to 5. So verses 2 to 5, kung binasa po ninyo ito before ng Friday, you will see at least 19 characteristics of the enemies of the church in the last days. 19 characteristics. Napakadami po. Abang binabasa ho natin yan, talaga namang napaka-detailed. Bagamat masarap talakayin po lahat ng mga bagay nito, I will only be focusing or highlighting on a few of them. Okay? So let's go through that. Probably I'll be handling around 5. Unang-una, tignan niyo yung verse 2. People will be lovers of self. Now, pansinin natin ang verse 2 na yung lovers of selves na ito. Ngayon, tignan niyo naman yung verse 4. Rather than lovers of God. So, pagsasamayan natin, lovers of selves rather than lovers of God. These characteristics are sandwiched by two loves. Yung nasa gitna na ito. People who love themselves rather than lovers of God. Ito po ang mark ng mga enemies ng church. Ito po ang mark ng culture natin ngayon. People who love the pleasures of this world and hate God. People who love themselves. Inuna ni Paul sa listahan ng lovers of selves Dahil ang self-love o pag-ibig sa sarili ang pinagmumulan ng kasalanan. Okay? Sin manifests itself when something ruling in our hearts ay meron tayong hindi nakuha. If meron tayong isang bagay na tinetreasure sa ating puso at gusto nating makuha at hindi natin nakuha, dun po nagmamanifest ang ating kasalanan. We get frustrated, angry, irritable, at gagawin ang lahat kahit mali na upang makuha natin ang mga ito. And if this is us, friends, it is a sign that probably we are lovers of ourselves. Pero hindi ba dapat, Pastor, that we should be loving ourselves so that we have a perfect understanding that we should be loving others? Di ba sinabi yan sa Matthew 22, verse 39, galing pa yan sa mouth ni Jesus Christ, that we should love others as we love ourselves? Yes. Pero kapatid, hindi mo na kailangan turuan mahalin mo sarili mo. We are expert lovers of ourselves. Jesus is saying, it's a comparison. Kung gaano mo kamahal ang ibang tao, kung gaano mo kamahal ang sarili mo, dapat gaano mo kamahal ang iba. Yun yung comparison sa Matthew. In fact, hinigitan pa ni Jesus Christ, love others as Christ loved you. Friends, we are experts in loving ourselves. We know that since time na pinanganak tayo, it's always self-centered. We are always self-centered. Now, may mga characters sa Bible na kinilala na people who love themselves. At sabi ho dito si Diotrephes. Makikita niyo po yun sa 3 John chapter 9. Who likes to put himself first. Gusto niya, inuuna niya lagi ang sarili niya. And as a result, he rejected John's teaching. Nireject niya ang katuruan ng apostle. Si Demas sa 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. He loves the present world. Mahal na mahal niya ang kamunduhan. That's why he deserted Paul. Iniwan niya si Paul sa ere. The Pharisees sa Matthew 23, verse 6 to 10. And they love the place of honor. Gusto nila yung place of honor. Gusto nila mag-pray publicly para makita nila. Pag nagpa-fasting sila, kinukulupot nila yung mukha nila para makita ng lahat. Why? Because they love the praises of men. That's why they never desired praising God. The Jews, at John chapter 3, verse 19, they loved the darkness rather than the light. And as a result, they crucified Christ. In Greek mythology, there was a man named Narcissus. He was a hunter and was known for his beauty and his love for everything that is beautiful. Si Narcissus is a proud man. At kinasusuklaman niya ang lahat ng mga babae na nai-inlove sa kanya. Because he feels that they are not worth it. Aba todo yabang talaga nito, no? At marahil ay feelingero. One day, a mountain nymph named Echo. Now, ano ang mountain nymph? Ang mountain nymph sa katumbas po sa ating mga legends ay mga diyosa. Or mga katumbas si diwata. Okay? So si Echo na isang diwata followed him and fell in love with Narcissus. And hanggang hindi na niya kayanan, in-express niya yung pagmamahal niya kay Narcissus at niyakap niya ang ginawa ni Narcissus ay tinulak siya at nireject siya. He rejected her and she lived the rest of her life in deep despair and sadness. The goddess of revenge saw this and goddess na ito planned to punish si Narcissus. She punished him by leading him to a pool na kung saan nauhaw siya after hunting na uminom. Unknowingly, as he was drinking, he saw his own reflection on the water and fell in love with himself. He fell in love with himself. He eventually realized that his love could not be repaid. He got very depressed and died and turned into a gold and white flower. Wow. Now, ang pangalan ni Narcissus dito, galing ang salitang narcissism. Na ang ibig sabihin ng narcissism ay admiration of one's idealized self-image and attributes. Or in short, It's an admiration of oneself o paghanga sa sarili. Malaki ang tingin sa sarili. Kung meron po tayong henerasyon, mga kaibigan, na kung saan ang mga tao ay may inflated sense of importance, inflated sense of self-importance, deep need of excessive attention and admiration, ito po ang henerasyon na ito. Henerasyon po natin. One theologian comments that we are in a narcissistic age. We live in a generation where our deep sense of admiration is amplified through modern media channels. In 2013, excuse me, Oxford Dictionary awarded the word selfie as the word of the year due to its largely use in social media. So in short, nasa dictionary na talaga ang selfie. Nakakatawa rito kasi nung tinignan ko yung kasunod, selfie stick naman ang kasunod. I think groupie is starting to come around ngayon sa mga usapan, yung plural form nito. So how did Oxford Dictionary define selfie? A photograph that one has taken of oneself, especially one taken from a smartphone or webcam and shared via social media. So hindi lang siya ordinary photograph, kung hindi, ipopost din po ito. Excuse me. Time Magazine's selfie also was Time Magazine's Word of the Year. Naging Word of the Year ng Time Magazine in 2012. Time.com, yung website version ng Time Magazine, noong March 2014, nag-declare sila kung ano ang city ang selfie capital of the world. At ang selfie capital world is Makati in Pasig City, Philippines. And this is true. The world. Pumapangalawa lang po ang Manhattan, New York. Pangatlo po ang Miami, Florida. And fourth ang Anaheim at Santa Ana, California. I knew it. Noon pa, we are the selfie capital of the world. Mga kaibigan, palagi ka bang nagsa-selfie? Could it be that the reason palagi tayo nagse-selfie at nagpo-post ng ating mga images, again, I use the word palagi, is it because you value yourself too much? Is it because you value what other people think about the way you look and live? And you want to broadcast it? We live in a generation where people believe that God and the world revolve around us. Yun ang ating paniniwala. Na ang buong mundo ay umiikot sa atin. Ultimo ang Diyos. At ang nakakalungkot po dito, may mga churches in the name of Jesus are preaching the message of sinful self-love. May mga churches na nagtuturo po niyan. Na kung saan ang sinasabi that God exists for my pleasure. You have to start listening to your prayers. How many times have you negotiated with God para makuha mo yung gusto mo? How many times are you saying that, Lord, you are unfair? Could it be that you feel na dapat ang Diyos ay nagre-revolve sa buhay mo? Kaya mga kaibigan, I encourage you, if you are to enter churches, including this church, check the lyrics of the songs that are being sang. Tignan po ninyo. Basahin ninyo. Listen to their prayers sa congregation. Check the sermon cards kung meron man sila. Tignan ninyo kung ano yung preaching series na magaganap. Listen to their sermons. If all of these are communicating self-motivation, self-help, self-accomplishment, self-benefits, self-satisfaction, self-indulgence, self-love, then we need to start thinking kung ito ba talaga ang tamang church na puntahan. Paul was warning Timothy that there will be people proclaiming the love of self in the churches. maiiba ang preaching. And this was what? 1600 years ago? 1600 plus years ago na binigay na ni Paul ang warning na ito. And yet, applicable ito sa time natin. People come to church to feel warm in their hearts. The people want to be tickling their ears kahit hindi totoo. And it's happening sa panahon natin. Paul was warning Timothy that there will be such people. There will be such preachers. And he should be vigilant. Crossroads Church, we should be vigilant. If there are things that you think that there are songs na kailangan natin na questionable ang lyrics, if you think the preaching is not consistent to God's word, please let the elders know. Kasi we plan about this. We pray for this. Kung titignan po natin ang listahan sa verses 2 to 5, mapapansin natin na ang each sin really comes from a love of self. In many ways, this is the fundamental problem with mankind. We love ourselves rather than God. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, "For they love not their lives even unto death." Sabi sa Luke chapter 14, verse 26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Mark chapter 12, verse 30 to 31, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these." Friends, if we do really love God with the wholeness of our beings, then we should selflessly love others. Kung tayo po ay napupuspos ng pag-ibig ng Diyos, dapat po nag-uumapaw yan sa atin sa iba. Now, I looked into an article ni Paul Tripp entitled, "Five Signs You Glorify Yourself." I took that and I converted them into a diagnostic question. At nagdagdag din po ako ng konting sarili ko for us to evaluate our hearts. First question, do you regularly parade in public or in social media what you should be kept in private? Do you talk about yourself a lot? Sa kwentuhan? Kahit hindi ikaw ang pinag-uusapan, bigla mo na lang ipapasok yung sarili mo. Oh, ako rin eh! Bam! All of a sudden, yung 5 minutes na binanggit na topic, isang oras sa'yo. Patungkol sa'yo. About your achievements, about your successes, about your experiences. Do you spend too much for yourself? Once you get money, do you immediately think about, oh, me? Do you talk when you should be silent? Sorry, let me say that again. Do you talk when you should be silent? Yeah, that's technically what I mean. Okay. You think highly of your opinions and viewpoints than others. That's why you keep on talking. Are you silent when you should be speaking? I'm not going to talk. I say, this is below me. Kaya hindi tahimik na lang ako. Mababaw yung mga yan kaya hindi ako magsasalita. Yun yung tipong nakaganyan, nakataas ang ulo. Sige, okay lang kami, brad. Samantalang kailangan niya magsalita. Do you care too much about what other people think about you? Second, tingnan yung verse 2. Lovers of money. Lovers of money. Those who love themselves love money. Because money can enable them to do whatever they want to do. Pwede nila bilhin ang kahit anong gusto nilang bilhin. Pwede nilang gawin ang gusto nilang gawin kasi may money. Because pag may round, it's easy to go around. No? Yan ang kasabihan. Marami nagsasabi that money is the root of all evil. Tama? No. Because 1 Timothy 6:10 corrected that. And Paul also warns the Ephesian Christians about it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." I don't think Paul is saying dito na masama maging mayaman or to earn more money. I don't think yun yung sinasabi niya. But he goes to the hearts of verse 10. "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Yung billionaire na si John Rockefeller was asked ng isang nag-i-interview. At tinanong sa kanya, how much money is enough? Bilyonaryo kasi siya eh. How much is enough? How much is, yes, that's enough, tapos na ako. And he said, just a little bit more. Konti pa. It's a similar story na kung saan isa sa mga kakilala kong mayaman sa Pilipinas sa napakadaming negosyo, I ask this similar question because every time I meet him, lagi siya may bagong negosyo. Even pag umuwi ako, may bago na naman siyang negosyo. So I ask him, kapatid, kailan mo masasabi na maihinto ka na dyan at magiging kontento ka na dyan? Sabi niya, walang hinto ito. He said that in a humorous way, but that's the truth sa puso ng tao. We are never contented, especially if we love money. There's not enough. Mga kaibigan, when is it enough? When would we say that this is the right salary package? Patalon-talon na tayo ng ilang trabaho, mabait naman yung boss niyo, pero why? Because it's not enough. Then what is enough? When would we say, I saved enough money? When we would say, I have sent enough money? I have spent enough money? And it's time to go home sa Philippines with my family. When? 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 Bakit natin tinatawag itong meron tinatawag dito sa Dubai? Let me back up. Dito ho sa Dubai, dumadami na po yung mga churches na kung saan ang tinuturo ay yung tinatawag na prosperity gospel. Now, bakit natin tinatawag itong prosperity gospel? Kasi po, ang mabuting balita na lagi nilang sineshare o tinuturo ay patungkol sa prosperidad. Mali ba ho ito? Absolutely not. Kung tama ang pag-iisip at definition mo ng prosperidad na dapat natin i-pursue. Because the Bible says true prosperity is when we get to the Lord in heaven. Because all forms of earthly prosperity will never be enough. Okay? So, na ang tinuturo ay God does not want you to be unhealthy. God doesn't want you to be unhappy. God doesn't want you to be unwealthy. Lahat yan gusto ng Panginoon para sa iyo. If you only have enough faith, you'll have everything you want. Friends, wala ho sa Bible yon. And the sad truth is that many people are buying into this katuruan na ito. And sadly, most of the people are concerned who are struggling financially. They love to go to churches ng ganito. Love to give sacrificial offerings sa mga ganito. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they love money. Third, same verse, verse 2. Disobedient to their parents. Young people, children, hey, stop smiling, parents, okay? Parents go like, yeah, here we go. No, we're not here to pulpitize. We're here to reveal God's word. Young people, disobedience to parents is a sign of your rejection. It's a sign of rejecting proper spiritual authority. Let me say that again. Disobedience to parents is a sign of rejecting proper spiritual authority. What do I mean by that? You see, God has given you parents, okay? God has given you parents to be your spiritual authority sa buhay mo, in your life. And while you are living under their roof, enjoying the free benefits of not paying utility bills, devouring free meals, and enjoying educational plans, you must obey. You must obey. Here's the truth. If you can reject the authority of your parents that the Lord God has given you, then you will grow up rejecting any authority in society that God has placed. God has placed authority in divine places, in divinely placed for the sake of order and structure and well-being. God ordained authority. If sa home, hindi na kayo marunong sumunod, magiging problema yung pagsunod mo sa boss mo. Could it be a reason why some of us are having a hard time staying in one jobs? You will have a hard time obeying the law. Could it be a reason kung bakit yung iba sa atin ay nagbabadya ng kaso sa batas? Why? Because it starts from the home. God ordained that. God blessed that. And so young people and children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is good for you. This is good for the society, and this give God's glory. A word to the parents. Now I see children smiling. Kung mawawala po ang disiplina sa mga bata sa tahanan, the result is they will become disrespectful, out of control, spoiled, disobedient children. Hindi sila susunod. Ikaw ang pasusunurin nila. Sasagot-sagotin nila kayo. As they get older, there is disrespect will continue. If not sa grace ng Panginoon sa pagkilos sa buhay niya. Again, young people and children, do not resist or challenge, suspect, and even question your parents' authority in the Lord. And in our passage, Paul is saying, there are some that will distort the message na tinuturo ng church na ito. The church teaches that the children should obey their parents, and here comes false teachers says, you don't need that. You don't need that because these people don't, wala silang tinitingnan na autoridad. And gusto nila habang bata pa lang tinitrain na yung ganong klaseng pag-iisip. So this is a warning again to Paul. In our passage, Paul is saying there are some that will distort the message na ito, even sa loob ng church will ruin yung salita ng Diyos. Fourth, look at verse 4. Lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Ang mga taong ito ay pleasure seekers. These are the ones who are driven by their bodily appetites. They pursue whatever makes them feel good and happy. Parang adrenaline rush. Para siyang ano, no? Parang steroid na nagpapalakas. These are, ito yung mga, a sample of these are video games, social media, sports, recreation, sex, drugs, alcohol, shopping, parties. Rather than finding their pleasure in God, they find it in themselves and in their own fleshy appetites. Alam ko marahil, ang iniisip niyo, oh, tama, may mga kaibigan ako na hindi Kristiyano na ganyan. And it's, yeah, we can use that in this context. Pero, isinulat ni Paul ito to describe people who are in the church. Isn't that interesting? Ito ang mga tao, itong mga taong na to ay ginagamit nila ang godliness as a means of gain. Kunyari, sila'y nagmamakabait. And they seek to use it to their own favor. And those who make such pretense, o pagkukunwari, are dangerous to the church. As if na parang, grabe yung bait ng kapatiran na to, pero yung pala hindi, ba motibo? Sabi po ni Tom Hale, in his commentary, Christ's most dangerous enemies are those within the church. Two enemies within the church can do more harm than 2,000 enemies outside the church. End quote. According sa Westminster Shorter Catechism, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. This was popularized by the pastor named John Piper when he did a little bit of editing sa part na to. Sabi ni John Piper, man's chief end is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. So ang layunin po ng tao kung bakit tayo nilikha ng Diyos is to glorify Him. Mabigyan natin siya ng kaluwalhatian at magkaroon po ng kagalakan sa pagbibigay ng kaluwalhatian sa Kanya. You see, we are created to enjoy and love God. If we're not loving and enjoying God, then our love is misplaced. But the truth is, our hearts are enjoying something else, not God. Hindi yun po ang ating kagala, katuwaan. We enjoy the fleeting pleasures of this world. The truth is, though God says, love God, no one can truly love God. Because man really, by his fallen nature, love himself. And God calls that idolatry. Just Diyosan yan. Remember, you shall love the Lord your God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if there is number one aside from God, that's an idol. And friends, we are that idol. We make us the idols of ourselves. God is angered by this. There's judgment because of that. There should be no other God. God does not share his glory to anyone. And if we always love to glorify ourselves, then we are going to be facing God's judgment. But the beauty of this is God, in his kindness and mercy, sent his son Jesus Christ, who lived a life that glorifies God, died on the cross, glorifying God, because he took our sins across na yon. And on that cross, God was judging him in our place. Imbisa tayong parusahan, pinarusahan ng anak. He died, and on the third day has risen from the dead. Because from there, when he was resurrected from the dead, God glorified his son, sat at the right hand of the Father, and one day he will come back. Friends, if you are not a God-glorifying individual, then you are a person who glorifies yourself. And the Bible says, repent from your sins. Talikuran niyo yung kasalanan na yan and turn to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of that sin and many others, so that God would change your heart to not glorify yourself, but to glorify Him alone. Verse 5, the appearance of godliness but denying its power.
Ang sinasabi ni Paul dito, ang mga taong ito ay masters of looking good sa panlabas. Itong mga tao na ito made it obvious na sila ay nagkakaloob, made it obvious na sila ay nagdarasal at naglilingkod upang makita ng karamihan. But they're living ungodly lives. They are malicious gossipers and without self-control. Ipapakita nila ang pagiging makajus nila, but they're lacking genuineness inside. They do not have the Spirit of God with them. They claim to know God, but their lives are devoid of God's work sa kanyang buhay.
Sinasabi niya, ito ang dami ko nalaman patungkol sa Panginoon, pero hindi naman makita sa buhay. Wala kasi ang Spirito ng Panginoon.
Para sila mga Pharisees sa Matthew 23 verse 25. And so, ang inutos ni Paul kay Timothy dito ay ano? Tingnan po ninyo sa verse 5. Ang anong inutos ni Paul? And this is the command na makikita natin sa passage na to. Avoid such people. That's a command. This could probably involve excommunication sa church or dismissing these men from their assembly. Pero kung titingnan po natin yung chapter 2, verses 24 hanggang 26, Paul urges such men to repent. At marahil kapag hindi nakinig, magpo-proceed sa excommunication. So I think there is a part that they would be pursuing them, calling them to repentance. Kapag hindi, nagpatuloy sila, dito pinapasok ang verse 5, avoid such person. However, there are also come a time pagdating sa church discipline is kailangan immediate ang pagtanggal. Hindi na kailangan i-call to repentance. And we have seen that many times when we are still serving sa Redeemer, where people are spreading false gospel, we immediately confronted and dismissed them sa membership. Why? Kasi parang cancer rin ang kumakalat sa members. So, ito po ang mga character or characteristics ng mga kaaway ng church. Paul exhorts Timothy na dapat ma-edify mo sila. Ma-identify mo sila. These are people who hate God and love sinful pleasure. Their love is misplaced. So not only does Paul describe the characteristics, but also exposes the methods, which is in number 2. What deceptive methods do false teachers execute? Paul is instructing Timothy, the efficient Christians, and us today, na dapat we are quick to discern kung ano ang mga methods ng mga ataktika ng mga deceptive teachers. Ito, tignan nyo sa verse 6 to 7. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sin and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Now, ano sinasabi ni Paul dito? Now, Paul here is not making a demeaning comment or statement sa mga kababaihan. Hindi niya minamaliit ang mga kababaihan na sinasabi niya, mahina kasi mga babae. Hindi po yun ang sinasabi niya. Kung babalikan po natin ang chapter 1, verse 5, makikita po natin si Paul is encouraging si Timothy because he was praising yung kanyang lola at saka nanay na kung saan who held on to the faith at shinare yung faith nila kay Timothy. So Paul is a man who loved godly women. This is a man who loved strong godly women, biblical women. So note lang na hindi siya ang tipong nagmamaliit ng mga kababaihan nung pinabasa ito. Okay? Nung sinulat niya ito. So anong ginagawa ni Paul dito? Bakit niya isinulat itong section na ito? Well, ito ang reason. To expose ang mga taktika ng false teachers. So paanong paraan? Let me mention a few. Sila ay literal na dumadalaw. Ito ginagawa ng mga mamang ito. No? Sila ay literal na dumadalaw sa tahanan ng mga kababaihan na ito. Lalo na kung sila ay mayaman o mga middle class na kababaihan. At ginagawa po nila ito pag wala yung mga asawang lalaki. So papasok po sila ron. Kumbaga, bibigay, encourage sila ng mga kasinungalingan. Okay? Mga ngaral, magtuturo. They will win their favor. Talk against the elders of the church. Talk against Paul. At biglang, kumbaga, bobola-bulahin sila. Diba? Papaikutin sila. And from there, magugulat yung mga kababayan na ito. Nahuhulog na ang kanilang loob sa mga ganitong klaseng mama at kanilang klaseng leadership. And from there, they become their disciples. So Paul is warning Pastor Timothy to be on guard because they're going to try and do this sa church mo. At ganun din ang gagawin nila sa kahit anong church na naniniwala sa gospel. Let's look at verse 6 to 7. Ano yung mga taktika nila? Unang-una, ang taktika ho nila is ito yung usual na pinupuntahan nila no, na babae. Ito yung characteristics. First, they lack women who lack spiritual discernment. Now, what does that mean? Women who lack biblical truth and knowledge. Makita nyo pa yun sa verse 6. Weak women. Weak-willed or weak-minded. Now, hindi po sinasabi ho dito na kung saan mahina ang pag-iisip, kung hindi, wala pa, hindi pa naka-angkla ang kanilang ang prinsipyo, ang kanilang puso sa salita ng Diyos. They are not yet spiritually mature. Therefore, they are easy targets. Pag nalaman na bago sa pananampalataya, ah, sige, medyo gullible pa yan. My friends, if your mind has not been formed and shaped by the truth of God's word, you are easy targets. You are easy targets ng maling katuroan na ito. Second, there are women who have guilty consciences. Guilty consciences. Look at verse 6. Burdened with sins. Ano ibig sabihin po nito? Due to their guilt from their past sins at mayroon pa silang mga kasalanan na kanilang hindi pa nadidil o pinaglalabanan pa, the false teacher takes advantage of them. They take advantage of their immaturity and sin weaknesses. Makes them susceptible sa deception ng kaaway. Okay, they take advantage. They woo them. Third, they are unsure of their purpose in life. Makita nyo yun po sa same verse. Led astray by the various passions. Yung principles nila sa buhay ay hindi pa nakaangkla sa salita ng Diyos. Kaya hindi pa nila lubusan na uunawaan ang tunay na layunin nila sa buhay na ito o lalo na yung kalooban ng Panginoon sa kanilang buhay. Since ang kanilang sense of purpose at direction sa buhay ay hindi pa ingrained sa salita ng Diyos, ginagamitin po ito ng mga bulang mga ngaral upang linlangin sila. They will teach a different gospel. Excuse me. Fourth, the lack of understanding and acceptance of biblical truth. Always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of truth. Hindi po gaya ng mga Bereans itong mga tao na ito. Ang mga Bereans, kapag may tinuro si Paul, bubuksan na rin ba? Teka, check ko muna. Hindi, sila po ay kung ano man ituro mo, agad-agad lulunukin. Agad-agad paniniwalaan. Because there are people, there are women na kung saan na who wants new things. They want new teachings. They want something that they will oppress them. Sadly, Diane and I have friends back in the Philippines who are really strong Christians. But because they have entertained so much teaching sa social media, and it's really sad dahil iba na ang kanilang sinasabi. Last time umuwi po tayo ron, I tried to redirect them sa salita ng Diyos. One of them, I said, every time I visit you, ang naririnig ko lagi, is you always herald the gospel. But right now, what I'm hearing right now is you yung teaching na ito.
It was really sad. These are really close friends. So friends, be careful what you listen to social media. Sometimes we look at social media, and I'm not saying all of them, there are a lot of good preachers, but if there's a preacher of a TV pastor na nandoon na napaka convincing at magaling and very a person of authority, pero wala naman silang tinuturo patungkol sa salita ng Diyos na may back up ng church, or they're not even mentioning na meron silang church, or they're ministering to a specific church, then I think kailangan natin pag-isipan. Baka nandyan lang ho yan sa basement nila na may malaki silang couch at gumagawa sila ng sarili nilang video na walang accountability. That's the problem about social media. Walang accountability. So be careful. Whatever you're reading right now, whatever you're watching, please ask your elders if these are healthy materials. And we will open God's Word. And don't be afraid. This is something that we want to grow together in this area. So yun yung mga taktika ng mga false teacher. Ito yung mga mahihina na inaaral niya. Mga hindi pa masyado nag-grow sa Panginoon. Let's go to the third and last one. So, how will opposers of the truth end? If ganito kabihasa ang kaaway ng iglesia, ano ang pag-asa ng iglesia? How will we be able to survive? Friends, here's a word of assurance. Jesus will take care of His church. False teachers will soon meet their doom. Look at verse 8 and 9. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men corrupted in the mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of the two men. Now, sino si Jannes at saka Jambres? Kung titignan niyo po yung Old Testament, wala sila ron. Wala mga pangalan nila sa Old Testament. Ito ang mga extra-biblical Jewish writings. Ang mga Jewish writers, binigyan, kilala ho itong pangalan na to kasi they were writing their names. Binigyan nilang pangalan ang mga Egyptian magicians at saka sorcerers nung Exodus chapter 7. Kung mabasahin yung Exodus chapter 7, hinamon mismo ng mga sorcerers and magicians si Moses and Aaron. Remember na binatoy yung staff ni Aaron, naging ahas, and from there, naging ahas din yung sa mga sorcerers. The Jewish writers called them Jannes at saka Jambres. So, kilala po sila na yon. Now, hindi po importante yung pangalan. Importante what it signifies. They were a picture of men who have corrupt minds and theologies who opposed God's word and considered enemies of God. They opposed God's word and His people. So, ang assurance na binibigay ni Paul kay Timothy na though influential ang mga opposers na ito, though matatalino ang mga opposers na ito, though na marami sila at widespread sila, at marami ding nanalanin lang sa buong mundo, God is saying, hindi sila tatagal. Hindi sila tatagal. May hangganan yan. No matter how bad it gets, the false teachers will not win. The Lord Jesus is the one who is building His church. Matthew chapter 16 verse 8, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the reason why the book of Revelation is written. Sinulat po ang book of Revelation, kung pag-iisay natin in one sentence, ang ibig sabihin, ang story ng book of Revelation, ito po yon. Jesus won. Okay? Yan yung magandang balita ng Revelation. Jesus won. So lahat na na-experience ng mga churches ngayon, God will care for us. Sa mga challenges inaanap ng church natin, God will care for us. Kung meron man mga bagay na kung saan kailangan ayusin, God will fix it. Kasi this is His church. Crossroads, living and ministering in this age and in this city specifically is very difficult. But we must take courage because Jesus will care for us. There will be a great opposition to Christ and His servants in our times. We should persevere in loving and serving God and His people because God will win in the end. Christians, we are ministering in a difficult day or difficult times. We must be discerning and confident that Christ will build His church. Let's pray. Panginoon, ang prayer po namin ay discernment, especially in these confusing times. If there are false teachers within our congregation, I pray that You would put them into the light. Give us elders boldness. Give members boldness to call them out. with love. I pray, Panginoon, that we would not be gullible people who will just swallow everything na ituturo, but help us to be people who love your word, who will study your word, who will meditate your word day and night. That we would not be people marked by selflessness, selfishness, but selflessness. Help us to love you more and think less of ourselves. As we love you more, we pray that we would love your people more, especially sa congregation na ito. But we're thankful sa church na ito, we have seen evidences of grace every Friday. I pray that you would not stop growing us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.